I will now call this meeting to order. This is the meeting of the Altamont Landfill and Resource Recovery Facility Open Space Advisory Committee on May 15, 2026 at 12:36 p.m. And maybe have a roll call.
Councilmember Nyberg.
Here.
Councilmember Wong.
Here.
And Member First.
Here.
And Supervisor Halbert is absent. We do have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to item number two, the approval of the minutes from the March 20th, 2026 meeting. Is there any discussion? I do have a comment myself.
Nothing from me.
On item number seven, before it mentioned a motion, Member First and a second by me. Was there a vote after that? Because I don't see the vote mentioned.
Didn't miss that.
And most of the utterances in my name are spelled in K, but the first E in Nyberg's. Two spots. And that's all. Anything else? Okay. Your motion to approve the minutes?
We're approving some amendment.
Second.
Okay. We'll call our time.
I think because it's online there.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries? Okay. Moving on to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address committee on a matter not on the regular agenda, and no discussion or action may be taken on these items. And if you wouldn't submit a speaker card, please, or you may come forward to speak and fill one out later if you'd like. I do have a Dick Schneider is requesting to speak. That's for item nine. Oh, it says PC on here. Oh, item nine. Okay. Apologize. Are there any public speakers online?
Nobody stands online, but we do have one more in the room, Kelly Brew.
Okay.
So, this committee is doing open space preservation. That's your charter, your goal. And the Livermore Independent on March 12th had an editorial titled on the topic of the Alameda County Supervisor for attempting to begin Measure D by shifting urban growth boundary approval from voters to the board, enabling developers to bypass city limits and threatening open the Tri-Valley open space. The paper urges supervisors to disclose barriers, projects, locations, and to leave Measure D intact. And the Sierra Club, Bay chapter, has sent a letter to the Board of Supervisors opposing this this effort. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Sierra Club as and the Southern Alameda County Executive Committee. The large landowners and political appointees are accusing the newspaper of getting bad information. And this initiative is just a voter survey, they say. The newspaper got it, but the newspaper got it right. This political initiative is more than a survey. It's hiring a political consultant to strategize the ballot campaign. This and the job that they as envisioned is more like a press secretary. You don't expect a press secretary, him or her. They don't make the policy. They just have to defend the administration. They have to sell the policy to the public. In this case, sell a zoning change to the public. And they don't even know what the zoning change is. They're selling the pig in the poke kind of thing. Opening the door, just getting the door open. And then later on, we'll see what comes through the door. This is not about building new subdivisions. It's about demolishing the open space zoning that now protects the Tri-Valley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Are there any other public comments in the room?
No other response.
And then online. Okay, I will close public comment and we will proceed to item number four, proclamation honoring the retirement of Elizabeth McGillicuddy.
Yes, I do. So Excuse me, I get the honor. I get the honor of reading the proclamation of the Altamont Landfill and Resource Recovery Facility Open Space Advisor Committee, given the honor of retirement of Elizabeth. Whereas in March 2026, Elizabeth McGilligan, the Liz, retired from the Alameda County after 25 years of service in the county's Community Development Agency Planning Department. Whereas Liz distinguished her career at the county, she provided staff support to the Altamont Landfill and Resource Recovery Facility Open Space Advisor Committee. And whereas during Liz's tenure staffing ALOSC, she facilitated the execution of grants totaling more than $15 million for the ALOSC fund for the acquisition and permanent conservation of over 4,500 acres of land in Alameda County. Whereas through Liz's efforts, the lands protected by the ALOSC fund have been preserved for their exceptional native biodiversity, scenic beauty, opportunities for non-motorized recreation, and enduring conservation value. And whereas Liz dedicated countless hours in service to the people and lands of Alameda County, crafting policies and programs that will benefit the region for years to come. Now, therefore, on this 15th day of May, 2026, the Altamont Landfill Resource Recovery Facility Open Space Advisory Committee is hereby unanimously and enthusiastically congratulate Liz McGillick for her well-deserved retirement, look back on her contributions with gratitude, and wish her the very best for the future.
The City of Livermore staff is thanking you very much for your dedicated service, and that is quite an accomplishment that you've done for this committee and for the county. And thank you so much for all of your hard work that and all the last minute questions you've answered for the city, and we will really miss you. And there's a card that goes with it too, so thank you very much and all the best to you.
All well deserved. Yeah, congratulations as well.
Would you like to see if you I just want to say thank you all. I really appreciate this. It's very kind. And it's been such a pleasure working with all of you. Video over all these years and seeing the progress we made in terms of open space preservation, and I wish you all the best with your continued work. I know it will be great things.
Oh, I think we need a picture.
Oh,
I think we should have the committee
We can't go down the
picture.
Yeah, it's fine. Perfect, everybody. Scoot in the chair.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. You want to spend it in the frame? We'll get this finalized. Okay, with that joyful action item completed.
Okay, we're good.
No hands raised online?
No hands raised online.
Okay, close public comment, and we'll proceed on to item number five, update on the status payment for ecosystem services project and land conservation, prioritization mapping tool. It's an informational item, and it looks like we're going to hear from Fraser Schilling.
I can't tell if you guys called on me or not.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was joining as a panelist. Okay. Hi, I'm Fraser Schilling, UC Davis, and I'm sorry to have to report that we are still in contracting between the city and UC Davis for this item. It's meant that we haven't really been able to start in the first thing we were going to do was to meet with landowners and others, other important stakeholders to get this going. So we haven't been able to do that. I have to say that it's primarily UC Davis's fault, that with the contracting being so slow. But I think we're at the point now where the city has finally got what they need, and it's going to go to council approval within the next month or two. So I think we're going to be able to start this summer, which will put us well behind schedule. And but we'll start off with a sprint, so we'll get going right away. We'll probably be off schedule, probably have to go a little longer, but I don't think it's going to change anything else. Happy to take it.
Tracy, you're saying the city, you're referring to Livermore or Pleasanton?
Livermore,
Livermore.
sorry, the ones who are doing the contracting.
Thank you.
I there's no threat or that it's in jeopardy, it's simply a delay and taking time.
Yeah, it's delayed because of the contract. Yeah. And I'm on the next item, so I'll just stay right here waiting for that.
All right. And is the extension of this the time frame schedule necessitated by the seasons in which wildlife would be migrating or anything like that, or is this purely an academic, well, otherwise?
Yeah, it's just the delay is because of the contracting, and we'll probably have to go longer. We may have to do the no cost extension, but nothing will change about the scope or anything we're planning on doing.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, let me open the item up for public comment. Is there any public comment in the room?
Yeah,
yes.
I have a comment, not about the contract issue, but about the TPARF tool, parcel prioritization tool. It's still got a link on the county's website, but that link goes to a version of the tool that doesn't work. And in fact, I spoke with the consultants at UCANR who were updating the tool, and they have some issues with access for, I think it's federal law for handicap access. And if the public is going to use the tool, then that may be a problem. They still haven't figured out how their other things that they're doing, applications are going. They're trying to work that to figure out how to make things work. So that would apply to the committee's tool as well, if it's open to the public. Now, that's something that I think the committee needs to talk about, whether it needs to be open to the public or not. I know that when we were talking about making lists of parcels, rural landowners didn't like the idea that their parcels were going to be identified publicly. And in some ways, having this tool available to the public to sort of zoom in on different parcels and see their attributes is similar to that. So if it's only available to the committee and staff, then the problem that you see that the federal law relates or causes may not be relevant. And so that may be a workaround for this committee's work going forward.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment in the room? A question?
How do we, oops, County Council, how do we make this into an action item? Does it have to come in next month if we want to say we want this only for our use, committee use, and not public use?
Yeah.
Sounds like it needs to be an action item.
It would need to be agendized.
We need to be agendized. Can we?
You're free to tell that to staff at this meeting, and they could.
Okay. We would like to agendize that this next one. In reverse this.
We can discuss it at that
Okay.
point.
All right. Thank you. Do we have any hands raised online?
No raised hands online.
Okay. close public comment. And just if I could ask County Council, is there potentially an issue of California state law requiring such a tool to be made with public accessible?
That's not a question I can answer right now. I have to look
at that. Okay. You know, I mean, that could be something to consider when it comes before us next time.
Yes, okay. Certainly.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the site? Okay, we will move on to item number 6, update on the East Bay Wildlife Connectivity Project. And it's an informational item, and I will get in.
Yeah, with Fraser as well. Before we start, though, looking at who's present and who is absent today, I think Fraser and I might deviate from our original plan, which was to give the whole overview of this project, similar to what I did at your meeting in March, and similar to what the three of you heard at the public stakeholder meeting that ACRCD and its partners just last week that you all attended. So I think rather than take that approach, since the fourth member of this committee is absent, we can focus on items of interest to the committee. I did update our slides from the ones you saw in March so that the maps are formatted larger because the Zoom screen share was a bit of an issue at that time. And I think Fraser and I can really just open up for questions that you may have if that's a better approach. So is there a direction that you'd like to take, or would you like us to give the short version rather than bore you senseless today?
I would mind the short version.
Okay. Fraser, does that work for you?
Yeah, totally. And actually, I just want to add one thing totally unrelated. After working with Liz for 5 or 6 years, I didn't know she was retiring, but congratulations, Liz. You're just the best, and ALOSC was so lucky to have you. But other than that, I'll just, Ian, I'm going to follow your lead for this. Is this a short version of the PowerPoint that we looked at? And do you want me to go ahead and kick it off, or what should we do?
This is the PowerPoint that you and I emailed about. So I think we can just breeze through the well understood information. And if you'd like to get us started, though, that'd still be great.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And I'll just say next slide. Okay. So as you all know, we've been working on developing wildlife crossings across 580 and 680, and we call it the East Bay Wildlife Connectivity Project. It's really intended to reconnect the Diablo Range and the East Bay Hills. And in the case of the East Bay Hills, connect the East Bay Hills to the rest of the world. So I've been working on this project under DUDEC, although you know me mostly from being at UC Davis. The work started with camera trapping we did about 10 years ago, UC Davis in the East Bay. And we used that and ALOSC-funded camera trapping to develop what is basically the largest wildlife crossing planning study in the state or project in the state. So the $7 million grant that we have is the biggest one they've ever given for this. Now we're 2 years in, so you know, we've gone through a lot of the ecological prioritization, the data collection, the ecological prioritization and discussions and so forth. So we just go to the next slide. As I mentioned, 580 and 680 are our primary targets. We did look at 84. We gave up on State Route 84 for a couple of reasons. One, some new structures had been built on the east curve between Sunol and Livermore. On the west segment of 84, we were looking at there's a trail planned along the alignment, and that is going to have a big effect on anything we tried to do across 84. So in some ways, we kind of gave up. Also, there's a couple of big bridges under 84 through the canyon. So we focused mostly on 580 and 680. Next slide. This is our study area, which we're basically putting these up for people who've never seen this before who might be interested. But as you all know, it's 580, 680, and 84 in Alameda County. Next slide. There's two critical benefits that we want to make sure we're accomplishing. And so this is where some feedback is important. But we want to reduce wildlife vehicle collisions. That is not accomplished with wildlife crossings. That's accomplished with fencing. The mixture of wildlife crossings and fencing is so that when you do fence, you have a way for wildlife to still cross the highway. But fencing is really the critical piece. One of the more interesting things we heard about fencing recently was from a tribe who said they'd be happy if we fenced the entirety of the East Bay Hills so that we could have wildlife survive there. Right now, it's a really challenging place, primarily because of 680, which is one of the has one of the highest rates of collisions in the state, wildlife vehicle collisions. So we want to reconnect the Diablo Range and the East Bay Hills, north and south. That's our primary priority, which also helps with climate resilience for any species that are living there, because then they can move around more freely. Next slide. Okay, so we've finished up the ecological modeling. You can see on the map on the left, there's you, hopefully you can see this color variation along the highways. The darker the color, oh, thanks. The higher the priority. So through Altamont Pass, through the Dublin Grade over to Castro Valley, actually right around Doolin Canyon, the Sunol Curve down to the Mission Grade or Sunol Grade. Those are all high priority areas, and that's a combination of where do the wildlife live, where do they need to cross, and where are they getting hit. So there's a combination of data that went into this prioritization, and it resulted in a series of sites, a lot of sites, 13, I think, altogether. And we picked a subset of those to advance to later planning. Next slide. And I think this is where I hand off to you, Ian. So thank you.
Sounds good. So as this committee has heard, we went through a ranking and filtering process to narrow down to just four sites. Let's get the bigger version of that map. So the four sites, there are two on Western 580 in sort of the Dublin Grade area, one along the eastern portion of 580 within the county at the start of the Altamont Pass, and one on southern 680, sort of at the top of the Sunol Grade. And so you can see those here overcrossing, so those blue trapezoidal figures, and one undercrossing is an inverted orange trapezoidal figure. And here you also see existing crossing structures along Highway 84. That's part of what Fraser was just talking about. So from here, we've just transitioned in our work with Caltrans from their initial project initiation document phase, which is just to get the ball rolling with Caltrans, into the PAMED, which is project something and environmental something. I have that all in the presenter comments that I cannot see very well while sharing my screen. So let me take a second.
That's close enough.
Close enough. Yeah, okay. So,
not
all right. This is still a planning project. We do, obviously, what good is a plan if you're not looking forward? And so, fundraising, the need for securing land access and land rights will come next. And eventually, within my career, I hope construction and then maintenance of one or more of these structures. We have many partners in this work. Some of them are in the room and online. We're talking with a lot of folks and getting a lot of good feedback, including last Thursday, May 7th, we held a public stakeholder meeting just across the parking lot here at the Dublin Library. Many folks here attended that, including members of the committee who are present today. We heard some good feedback there, and that doesn't mean that we only heard positive comments. We had challenging questions presented to us as well, which is good. That's what we want to have happen at this time. And so we are thinking over the information that we heard, the questions that we fielded. We are planning to present to the county's agriculture advisory committee a little later this month, and we'll continue engaging folks in both in public meetings, but also in more direct, smaller group meetings as well. So that's the direction we're headed in right now while the environmental review process with Caltrans continues. And so that's it. We try to keep it short, but again, if there are questions that that you wanna ask Fraser or I, we're here to be responsive to you.
Okay, great, thank you. Bring that to the committee.
Just a comment right now. I was really impressed with the number and variety of people that came to that meeting at the Double Library, people from the state. I wasn't expecting anybody there to notice what we're doing here. And we really got a wide variety of people, which is encouraging because it seems like they're interested and probably on board with what's happening.
Is anyone from Caltrans there? I can chance.
Fraser, do you recall, did we have a Caltrans rep at the meeting?
No, we had CDFW, but I don't remember someone from Caltrans.
Right. In our planning, you know, in our working group meetings, we do engage CDFW and Caltrans staff on an ongoing basis. And so, you know, it's not, to me, it's not the end of the world that they didn't have anybody available last Thursday in particular.
Sure. Okay. Just give, you don't mind if I ask another question. Okay. I noticed at the meeting, the outreach meeting, there were a number of landowners present, which I was glad to see. Ones that whose land potentially would host at least one end, perhaps, of a crossing. Could you kind of summarize the concerns? I know there's some good comments from the landowners. I recall some comments about cattle grazing, the crossings not becoming people crossings, mm-hmm. light of hiking trails, so on.
So you're asking for sort of just
an overall.
Yeah, can do. And Fraser, feel free to jump in here too. I happen to have my notes with me. One area for concern is increased predation of livestock. So if we are successful and these structures get built, does that result in increased potential losses for livestock operators in the county? And that is something that we are thinking about. We've discussed with a number of ranching operators in Alameda County. And, you know, my view is that that's something we have to plan for as we plan building something. We need to think about, you know, what sort of local or state or regionally supported efforts do we need to advocate for and seek as remedies? So that's something we're still thinking about. And, you know, I don't want to spin too far on what we might hope happens versus something more tangible. We heard that we can do more and better public engagement, particularly with private landowners. And I think that's an important comment. I think it comes from a place of folks who haven't been part of our engagement up until last week. Mm-hmm. Because we are doing that, but can we do better? Yeah, of course, we can always do better. So that comment is taken with sincere interest. There was some question around the Altamont Pass crossing in particular, and let me try to scroll back to the map here. The question was really framed around, well, what wildlife are going to use a crossing in the Altamont? And Fraser's definitely the person who can speak to that more authoritatively than me. So why don't I pause in case you want to address anything there, Fraser?
Sure. And it depends where you put it. The western end of the pass is where we're focused on, which is closer to properties that the city of Livermore has been interested in, the Brushy Peak area. And so that side you'll tend to have mountain lion, whereas you may not have them on the east side. But it's also good for future elk, for badger, for other grassland species, deer for sure. and it's near a crossing where we've seen a lot of those species crossing, and that's the county right of way that's just to the east of Greenville Road. So there were questions, people basically saying, well, why would you expect anything to go through this barren grassland area? Well, there's a lot of things that live there, but it is a contrast to the West 580, where you have species that are more comfortable or prefer the forested and shrub landscapes we see towards that side. So they're really hard to compare to each other, but people have the perception that the Altamont Pass area doesn't have any biodiversity, which is just not true.
Okay.
We didn't respond like that. That's my response to here. The other thing that
Thanks,
came up
Chris.
was the livestock taking and CDFW in wolf areas. There is compensation for losses, so you can definitely have a compensation for loss program as part of something like this if there's that kind of concern.
Okay. And so I'll mention one final area that I noted down last week, and that's around cattle access and grazing. And in all of Alameda County RCD's work, we see wildlife habitat and livestock grazing as primarily compatible. And so, the goal isn't to build something that pushes ranching away or makes it impossible. And I think drilling down a little bit, what if cattle accidentally get onto this structure? That's a design element that we need to think about, is how do we ensure that livestock don't go through and yet wildlife can go through? And so that's definitely something that will fit into the designs. Let's see, Fraser, I didn't have any other big points from the meeting that I was going to flag. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Just something I showed a whole lot of project sponsors or partners, and so we do want to say we value them, certainly do. And I noticed Oakland Zoo was one of them, and we're fond of the Oakland Zoo. I'm just wondering, are they in lending some expertise? Because I know they have expertise in certain areas.
The short answer is yes. And my colleagues at the RCD are sort of the lead communicators with Oakland Zoo. And if that's a point of interest, I'd be happy to come back at a later time to speak to it a little bit more. But in a nutshell, yes, they're great big supporters of what we're trying to do, and there's some ongoing dialogue.
Okay, great. Yeah, my daughter was a volunteer oak ranger, a goat ranger. Steve.
Comparing the overcrossings and the undercrossings, which is more expensive and which is more efficient?
Well, yeah, the I can do that one if you bring that map back up, because there's the one spot where we're proposing both, and the undercrossing location is actually a road diet project, which means taking a fairly large road undercrossing and squeezing the lanes down to one side and having the other side be wildlife passage. So that project is estimated to cost 10 million. The overcrossing, which is just to the west of it, the blue trapezoid, is a very long structure going over 580 and BART and the local road there. And so they are going to serve different interests, but absent, basically all of the species that we're talking about will use an undercrossing. The only difference there is that, like, mountain lions prefer undercrossings over overcrossings. But the difference there is that because it's a road diet project, there'll still be travel lanes. So there is a little bit of human wildlife proximity there. It's not the bad kind of human proximity. Like, wildlife care less about cars. They care a lot about humans walking and on bicycles. But if the undercrossing project only has travel lanes, then it's probably not as big of an issue. But the those two next to each other, they're probably going to be similarly effective in terms of which wildlife go through, and the overcrossing costs four times as much as the undercrossing.
Is
So
that
it's
in general,
benefit
or
to cost. Say again.
is that specific to those two overcrossing undercrossings? But in
Yeah, so
general, Does the overcrossing cost more than an undercrossing?
No, actually, for a wide highway, they're almost the same. And you can have situations where an undercrossing costs more. It also depends a little bit on the infrastructure you have, rail versus freeway lanes. So rail has very different requirements for if you go under. They really don't like anybody to go under, but they're okay if you go over as long as you stay high above their alignment. So those kinds of requirements can make for a higher cost for an undercrossing. So there's a trade-off point, which is about 20 feet diameter for an undercrossing. You start to get into the same cost as an overcrossing. Overcrossings, I think, are a bit oversold for California because only a few species are going to prefer them. And those are Rocky Mountain and Roosevelt elk and pronghorn. Maybe kangaroo rats, maybe badger, but badger will go through an undercrossing. So it's really two species that we don't have here will prefer an overcrossing to an undercrossing. The problem we have for 580 and 680 is that the highway is so wide that the undercrossings become not only very long tunnels, but they're also become almost as expensive as an overcrossing or more expensive.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Can I ask a follow-up on that? You said the wildlife is more affected by pedestrians and bikes than by cars. Is that just they would stay farther away from cars, or what's, could you say
Yeah.
more about
Yeah, sure.
that?
So it depends on, okay, so if a person walks through an underpass, so imagine you've got a sidewalk and a travel lane, you're going under the freeway, you walk through. If you walk through there, or if you walk through there with your dog, or if you walk through there on a horse or cycle through there, the human presence, the scent, etc., worse if it's with a dog, that will have way more of a deterrence effect than a car driving through. There's two reasons. One, leaving behind the smell, we are predators or an unknown, and so they'll generally stay away from us, whereas a car doesn't leave behind that smell. The slight difference is cars have noise and light at night, so they're more disturbing when they're there, but as soon as they're gone, that disturbance is gone. Whereas when we walk through, and especially if we walk through with a dog, we leave our disturbance behind. So that's why recreational trails, wildlife will generally stay away from them, especially the busier one. The busier it is, the more the wildlife will stay away. So you can basically exclude wildlife by having people walking, whereas cars driving don't do the same thing when they're absent.
Okay, that's very good to know. Thank you. Can I ask on the in the public meeting, which I thought was great, and it's been, like David said, the diversity of the groups that were represented. Was there anything you heard there that makes you think any differently in either small ways or big ways about the plans for this, for the crossings?
I mean, I similar to what Ian, the question he answered earlier, I think we're going to have to think through the responses to the immediate landowners, especially if they have cows, because there is that balancing act with when you protect carnivores and you have livestock grazing will get nervous and maybe politically push back on that. You don't want to get into a public argument about it, but the private argument is, well, those mountain lions are already there. So really it's making it easier for them to move around and not get killed. But and there are compensation programs. If people do lose livestock, then you can have a compensation program that makes up for that. That's the only thing that made me a little nervous, but it's already been there before. The thing that made me feel positive was the continuing diversity of partners who have access to funding that could help build this. That's not true everywhere, and it certainly seems to be true here. So that was very encouraging.
That's great. Just one last quick question. I think at the beginning, Ian, in your presentation, you said there you've narrowed it down to four priority areas. And for some reason, I keep hearing three. It's, or are you counting the undercrossing, the overcrossing as two separate?
They're two separate projects.
Okay. So those are the two, and then the other two. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
And I realized one thing that I meant to bring up a few minutes ago is just, you know, I said already, we heard a lot of good feedback. We were still processing that. And in particular, the breakout discussions that we had in the latter part of that meeting, we had some great conversations. We took a lot of notes, and we're still working through all of that information. So that's going to take us a little time.
Thank you. We're taking any comments and questions right now on item number six. Our chair has entered the room, and so sorry I'm late. I would offer to turn the gavel over to you if you would like.
No, keep it going, but I'll just ask a question if I could. And forgive me if this is off topic, but it relates to trail, the crest to coast topic, and the idea that I believe there's one small segment, Alameda County, that would help complete that trail. Is there clarity around that? And is there a path forward to make that happen?
I think that's a good question.
Off topic.
I don't think I'm able to answer it effectively myself today. I'm not familiar with where that alignment would land in Alameda County. Is it possible that there's some synergy that as we plan wildlife connectivity, that there, you know, that we should be thoughtful of where anticipated or desired trail alignments are in the future? Yes, absolutely. Just the same as we've been looking at proposed infrastructure like Valley Link rail service someday. And just, you know, trying to consider that in where we're proposing crossings and how they will be designed.
Yeah. Well, that's just one trail that I think has some passion behind it that can be a recognizable win, if you will. And I don't know that we have clarity around how to make it happen. But I believe there's a path forward. That's maybe this is another topic for future. Thank you.
Thank you. I could just add to that really briefly. I'm not aware of any successful wildlife crossings that have human trails on them. And basically, it's probably not worth building it as a wildlife crossing if you're going to put people on it. It's really more of a pedestrian bridge at that point. There are some wildlife that tolerate being around people, but they're not the ones that we're mostly focused on. So these are two things that generally should be kept apart, if that's a question for anybody. I don't know if it is. Very well studied phenomenon. People recreating push wildlife away.
Yeah, thank you for that information.
Yes, appreciate that. Any other questions, discussion by committee? Okay, I'd like to open public comment. Is anyone in the room who has public comment? Please, we have one speaker.
My name is Celeste Garamendi. Most of you know me as being an advocate for the conservation and preservation of the Tesla Wildlands, but I'm also a rancher, and our ranch crosses in the hills south of Tesla across San Joaquin and Alameda counties. And I want to speak today on this project as a rancher and first commend you for your work. I think it's an important project, incredibly important, because we see the reality of the wildlife crossing from Mount Diablo through the Altamont south into the Diablo Range literally every day. With regard to the issue of predation, as Fraser indicated, there are already mountain lions in the area that if they're going to affect wildlife, livestock, they're affecting livestock right now. There certainly may be some potential additional impacts with the channeling. And I would agree as a rancher that the types of programs that you talked about, the compensation programs that are already in effect with wool predation in the northern part of the state are an avenue that can be taken to address this concern. The issue of livestock operations being compatible with wildlife or habitat conservation, I see them as being 100% absolutely compatible. And in fact, I think our operation in terms of the habitat preservation, the wildlife preservation, and the improvements that have been done, some of them through programs such as those at RCD, actually facilitate that compatibility. And so I think, again, this points out the opportunity that exists to accomplish goals that are within this committee, as well as in other entities in the county. Goals of promoting agriculture, doing so in a way that reduces environmental impacts, but also doing so in a way that promotes the preservation of wildlife and habitats, and in this particular case, wildlife connectivity through existing, known, well-established, and used wildlife corridors. And I do want to address the issue again from personal experience of wildlife being impacted by people. And I didn't know the studies, Fraser, but I can see it from our just anecdotal observations. Wildlife will tolerate automobiles more than they will tolerate people walking or on horseback. And so the issue of ensuring that if the goal here, which it is and which is necessary to achieve wildlife crossings, we have to recognize that that has to be dedicated to the purpose of wildlife crossings and not mix that with recreation, which has other impacts and other challenges. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment.
Any other public comment in the room? Are there any hands raised online? Okay, close public comments, bring it back to committee. Any further discussion on this item?
Okay. Where are we likely to hear back progress with the contracts and everything else? You're planning on coming again.
How soon would you like us?
Progress.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, Fraser, I think it's going to be at least a few months before there would be a significant update to share with the committee. Possibly a bit longer as we're, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we're just getting the ball rolling on this next phase with Caltrans. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot to share on that for several months at least.
September, October. Contact them and see if there's anything going on.
That can we be happy to.
Thank you. Anything else in the committee? Okay, thank you very much for the presentation.
Everybody.
I'll close item number six. Thank you, Fraser. Appreciate that. Indian. Okay, moving on to item number seven. Can we get a hold of it? Okay, this is a request from the City of Pleasanton to amend the settlement agreement. And there's a bit of a description here, and this is an action item. Do we have a speaker to present this item?
Derek Farmer from the City of Pleasanton is with us online.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah, please proceed.
Okay, thank you very much. Committee members, Derek Farmer, City of Pleasanton, sitting in for Nellie Amos, who's out today. A little bit of background that she provided me is that the City of Pleasanton is requesting an amendment to the settlement agreement that would allow grants of up to $1 million to be approved administratively without requiring either City Council or, in the case of the County Board of Supervisors, approval, with the stated goal of reducing administrative workloads and just project workloads, things like that. Streamlining the approval process for these grants and also addressing potential delays in getting them approved when they need to, go to the council or go to the Board of Supervisors that could result in delays because of, getting things on their agendas, getting things, staff reports and resos and all that. And there's certain times when either body may not be meeting. And if the grant is time sensitive, then this would allow for the approval to occur a lot quicker without the formal approval of the public hearing bodies. By the way, apologies for my camera not working. So that's the background I have on this. I'll defer to Councilmember Nybert if there's any additional Pleasanton information or background on why we're requesting this. But again, this is what I have in terms of why we're seeking this amendment.
Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Before I say anything, I'll just refer to the other members of the committee to see if there are questions or discussion.
I have other information you could fill in for that? Or?
Not really, just say some of the most recent history is that there was a grant that came to the City Council for approval, and at the same time it went to the Livermore City Council for approval. Both bodies acted, but it was some time. It did take some time to agendize and then have it brought before the both councils. One could argue whether that was precious time lost or whether the amount of the grant warranted that level of attention. Was a question that maybe we could bring up here.
How much was the grant?
Was it like 200,000? It was a recent one in late last year.
Yeah, I can look.
Okay, yeah, please, thank you. And I would also be curious whether the City of Livermore might join this request or have similar sentiments. And I don't know if anyone here could offer any comment on that. I presume not, but welcome anyone to come forward. So while we wait for that number to come up, anyone else have any comments?
I have a couple comments. I'm not sure how you chose $1 million. The fund for the Western portion is only 3.6 million, and $1 million seems like a very large number. I'm not sure why you came up with $1 million rather than something small.
Derek, can you address that?
You know what, Councilor Renibri, I don't have the background on how that number was chosen or if there were other hearing bodies that were involved in that discussion. So apologies, I do not know the background for that number.
Okay, nor do I.
Yeah.
I just have a question about from our legal team staff. What is the process for this to even happen?
I can speak to that. So,
how often do we amend? I'm sorry.
Well, I can't speak to the latter. I don't know if it's ever been amended. Looking at Liz McGonagall, has a lot of information.
I think she's here still.
Yeah, she's saying no, it has not been amended. But the committee itself can't amend the settlement agreement. The settlement agreement has to be amended in a written instrument by all parties to the settlement agreement. That's not just the municipalities. There are a few private entities, I believe, in there as well. They all have to sign off. They all have to agree. And while I'm speaking, I'll also say that we would have to determine, or those parties, not this committee, would have to determine how the committee would contract for those funds. Right now, the county contracts for the funds, and they hold the funds. The county concurs, but it's the county is the party to the contract. As far as I know, the committee doesn't have the ability to do that. So that's something to consider, but very likely still need to go through the cities and the county in order for the funds to go maybe more smoothly. Maybe there's another way to do it, but those are my thoughts.
So I'll also, and I don't know if this is a potential solution or not, but maybe Pleasanton can. We have a good case study because we just went through it. Maybe there could be some education or process or protocols put in place that delineate the time, the estimated expected timeline. People change all the time. Staff change all the time. People don't know. And maybe things go back and forth. And I don't know why it took so long in this particular case, but maybe that could be alleviated with a clear delineated protocol that let everybody know in advance how long it should take and let everybody know the process that it should take. And then everybody would know if we're lagging behind to set expectations. What I gather happened is it took way too long than people would have liked to have happen. And now they're upset and they want to resolve that by amending the agreement, which sounds complicated. Maybe it could just be done by streamlining the protocol, everybody agreed to it. Maybe I just brought
up. Yes, yeah, perhaps. I'm not sure that the only consideration was the length of time and parties being unsatisfied. There's also the cost of people's time, manpower, workload. The city of Pleasanton is very cognizant of that across the organization. And there's an element of that here as well, I believe.
You're correct.
If I could just clarify, excuse me, from what I said before, when I was saying private parties, I really meant non-municipalities. And specifically, we have the Altamont landowners against rural mismanagement as a party to this agreement, and the waste management of Alameda County, along with the Sierra Club, of course, the two cities and the county. So everybody would have to come to the table to agree.
I have a question about the up to $1 million. That's $1 million per grant. Is that the proposal is?
And yes.
That's not a time like $1 million per year. So you can essentially have three or four grants of up to $1 million in 1 year and use up all of the funds. That's a possibility under that proposal.
I think Supervisor Albert has a good idea. I think amending the settlement agreement for something like this is overkill. I think we should think very carefully about ever amending the settlement agreement, but maybe putting it on consent agenda, or maybe making sure that people know the timeline for Livermore or Pleasanton or the county needs to bring it forward so that the people asking for the grant have a clear idea how long it's going to take would be worthwhile. But I think amending the settlement agreement is not to be acceptable.
That's my question. So is it Derek?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sensitive to what Director Nybert mentioned. It's not just overall time, but the workload. If there is learning that tells us and informs us that we could work smarter instead of harder, or streamline the process, or I think education is one step. But if you went through this and it just took too much time of your team, and you could find ways that we could get further, faster, working smarter, not harder, maybe you can inform the group so that we build it into the process. I am a big fan of if we don't have to do as much as we do and still get the job done, that we do that. Again, I think that comes with clarity of purpose and protocols. But is it the, like, what happened in this case that took so long? Is it that the process was too complicated, or did we just not make agendas? Because I mean, the cities meet every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So is it too hard to get on a city's agenda? I know sometimes it's really hard to get on an agenda. It takes a long time. Sorry, that's just kind of feel about things sometimes. But what is it that we need to do that makes your life easier and faster, and can we achieve it by protocols and education versus amending this thing? You just want
to, you know, if I could add to your discussion, which is appreciated. I think that, you know, the city of Pleasant is looking at it from a workload and also timing standpoint for all the jurisdictions. You know what I mean? It isn't like we're trying to say that we're trying to reduce our workload, you know, specifically in Pleasant. And this would affect, all the applicable city councils, as well as the Board of Supervisors of Alameda County. So we want to make sure that we're not trying to present this as a City of Pleasanton workload only item. It is a workload and administrative and timing and potential delay item that affects all the applicable jurisdictions.
Okay, understood. What you do is going to help all of us maybe in the future, but anyway, I'm inclined to not approve this, but rather proffer another solution that can maybe be taken separately, as I described.
Can I just ask one more clarifying question to the committee staff? How do you have a sense of what percentage of the grants that we approve or are over $1 million?
Very few.
That's my sense, is that it's not that many. So we could be talking about a lot of the grants being approved without consideration by the councils.
And what are the deleterious effects of that?
Yeah. So I think it's broader and more so the entire history of this.
So I like Supervisor Hubbard's proposal of tightening up the process potentially for considering amending.
Do we need a motion or is this an information on the international? Yeah, public comment. Member first.
I haven't been part of an organization that's asked for a grant from this committee, so I'm not sure of the legwork that goes on before a grant proposal comes to this committee. But doesn't the city of Pleasanton or the city of Livermore or an entity like East Bay already develop a staff report and all the justification for the grant proposal to write the grant proposal? So once it comes to us, the staff is already up to speed. So if it comes to us and we approve it, I can't see how much staff time would be taken to go back to the city of Livermore or the city of Pleasanton and say, here's the staff report we've already developed. Here's the grant proposal. It's just been approved. Goes on the consent agenda and it's finished. So I don't see a staff workload after the grant proposal is approved. I could be wrong.
Let me just add that there is a staff member in the city of Pleasanton who I'm liaison with, if that's a word I can use, in regard to these meetings and provides comments and heads up on these items. So if anyone were to be given an early warning, so to speak, it would be her and as well as Mr. Farmer. I presume there's someone on the Livermore staff that may have the same function, but I have some hesitation about the $1 million amount. And the prospect of amending this for the first time. Although I certainly am sensitive to the workload of our staff and that of all the organizations.
This is actually an action item.
It is an action item, so I was just about to ask, are we getting toward a motion of any kind here?
Comments?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Public comment. Yes, Mr. Schneier.
Thank you. So I was here, and this was here, the only time that was contemplated to amend the settlement agreement. And that was so that we didn't have to prepare a list. I was on the committee at the time. Prepare a list every year of the parcels we wanted to try and acquire or protect, which was impossible, basically. We had no real way to do it. And so we started, in fact, County Council started. I still have the red line drafts of the amendments on my computer. It was just impractical. We had to go to all settling parties. We just started with the Northern California Recyclers Association, which was mostly Sierra Club members. And then it was stuck for months of meetings trying to figure out how we're going to amend the settlement agreement. I mean, what do we want? We didn't even get to alarm the neighbors, much less to waste management. Now, I don't know if for public services, I guess they're an add-on, they did some. I mean, you can imagine the kinds of concessions they would want to agree to amending the settlement agreement. They would want their share of the amendments as well. So I agree with the idea of finding a workaround. And I want to remind everybody that this committee does the work. The county and the two city councils, their job, and I don't mean to minimize it, but it's ministerial. That is, did this committee follow the requirements of the settlement agreement and do the proper analysis? Did the grant meet the purposes of the committee? Was it looked at? Was public comments taken, et cetera? Does it meet the requirements for spending if it's part of a consulting contract? But it really is a ministerial duty. And I think no matter what the size of the grant, it could be put on the consent calendar. You could have a checklist for staff to look at. And as you've already recognized, the county has prepared staff reports. The applicant has an application, which is very detailed. And then this committee has to review that application. So a lot of work is done. And I think it can be done simply as a consent item at the city councils and the board of supervisors, maybe not consent if it's over $1 million, but at least consent, and that would eliminate the workload for city and county staff at the their respective meetings. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment in the room? Any hands raised online?
Nobody stands online.
Okay, I'll close public comment then and bring it back to the council. Everyone go on this. I think I'm hearing kind of a consensus, but someone wants to put something forward.
If I could just offer.
Yes, please.
The item is to consider whether to recommend an amendment. So right. If you were making your motion, it would be not whether an amendment, you know, whether you agree with the amendment, right. But right. Whether you want to make the recommendation. So on your motion, and also you don't take action. You don't want.
Oh, okay. So we could, without taking action, we could just leave this.
Yes.
Good point. Thank you for reminding us of that. If there were a recommendation to seek an amendment, would that be something then that staff would take up and arrange for all of the five organizations to consider?
Well, staff here can only arrange for one municipality to consider it on their agenda, right? All the municipalities would have to.
So they'd be a
recommendation with whatever you're recommending. So it could get a little complicated as to how they're going to get that in front of their bodies, but that would be your decision. I will also ask Sprinkle here. This is on today's agenda because I'm sure that if there is an amendment contemplated, that the municipalities would want to hear from the committee, well, the experts on what you need and how you're seeing things with that. If it's not actually within the terms of the settlement agreement that you are able to make this recommendation. So we want to be clear with why you're recommending it to the municipality.
Okay, more wrinkles.
I know.
Okay.
We recommend that we not move forward with this law. The role of the committee is to not do an amendment of the settlement agreement, but there are other workarounds, so maybe we can come back as if Pleasanton wants to bring it back as a suggestion for some type of workaround or consent agenda process.
Okay, that's the sense that I'm getting from the other members as well. as much as I like to and desire to stand up for Pleasanton staff and difficulties that are presented, I will go along with the lack of moving forward on this. So, having said that, any other comments? Okay, I always follow Dick Snyder. Okay, Derek, you have the results of this discussion here, so. I guess we will close the item now. And
yeah. Thank you.
All right. Close item 7 and move on to item number 8, update on field trip planning to inform review and potential reaffirmations, refinement, or update 2016 ALLSC Eastern and Western Priority Area. This is an informational item. County staff, City of Livermore staff.
Yes, this is our item, Allie Ivers, Planning Department with Alameda County. At your last meeting in March, we had agendized a potential review of the 2016 Eastern and Western Priority Areas maps that's attached to the agenda here. And your committee recommended having a field trip to be able to actually see the areas that you'd be talking about prioritizing. So the City of Livermore staff and county staff have met, and we're working on, your staffs to get a scheduling survey together to find a time that would work for everybody. It's actually something we could talk about now. If there are times where you know you're going to be gone and maybe we could make some headway today, but not we'll continue to work with your staff. And the current plan is to concentrate the trip in the western Altamont Hills and in North Livermore. There's a few properties owned by the City of Livermore that have already identified good for this trip. So that is where we're leaning right now. And we'll continue to coordinate with County Council on the question of how to organize this for round up to the clients. So
that's a great idea.
That's the update. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Is that your idea, David? Your idea. Was this your idea?
I'm not sure. I'll take credit for it. But we're all in agreement that we wanted to see the area. It's one thing to see.
How long would it need? 4 hours? 6 hours?
We're thinking 3 to 4. So we're getting into the summer. So it would probably make sense for it to be in the morning. If it is going to be in the summertime, it's going to be hot out here.
You going to go in a helicopter?
Hot air balloon is what I was thinking.
Okay.
Any other comments? Christine, any comment? I think it's something that we all agree is a good idea. We'd like to pursue.
Absolutely.
And maybe rather than engage with everyone's calendars,
yes,
here,
fair.
Just leave it to a four-day outline.
Yeah, sounds good.
The suggestion would be that if everybody send to Allie their vacation schedules or schedules where they can't, they're not open to going on a field trip.
Okay. Or maybe there could be one of those grids of suggested times, and everyone checks whether they can make it or not during that time.
Perfect.
Okay. Public comment. Public comment. Is there any? Yes. One speaker in the room here.
Hi, I'm Pablo Martinez, Senior Land Use Manager for City of Mount Diablo. Not so much a comment, just a question. Would that be a publicly noticed meeting that members of the public could like RSVP to attend? Gosh, thank you.
Sure. I believe the answer is yes.
That's what we're working it out. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the answer is yes. Any comments or raised hands online?
No raised hands online.
Okay. Close public comment. I think we'll be discussing that item. And so thank you for shaking the staff on that board. And so you have more staff. Next item is number 9, discussion of conceptual east-west trail across Alameda County. And this is an informational item. Chair Hogger, are you speaking on this?
Or I think maybe that's what I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
Coast to crest. I just heard it's a good idea. And I think I would like staff to look into what's been said about this opportunity. I would refer you to the Tri-Valley Conservancy and or Larry Goslin, who seems to have knowledge about this. From what I understand, there are just a couple of points in the trailway that need to be acquired and or turned into a trail in order to connect, and that if we are able to, would be pretty cool. And if our friends trail business can look into it, they might be able to inform us.
Even wrong person.
Okay. I'll leave staff to figure it out from there. But I believe there's an opportunity to make a significant trail out of a couple of specific discrete acquisitions. Maybe we've got to talk to East Bay Regional Parks.
My question.
Yeah, I think it is better. Because I think that it would fall under jurisdiction. This goes all the way from Calaveras County to the ocean. And so that's kind of cool. That's it. Okay. Open up to the committee for comments, questions. Is this entirely conceptual at this point, all the way from Sierras to the sea?
Supposedly there's bits and pieces of it, large bits and pieces of it that are already identified. It's a thing. You can Google it. Like staff will be able to figure it out, and Tri Valley Conservancy and Larry Cosman know more about this than I do. I would just like it to come back as an information item at some future date. So
yeah, it sounds like we can agendize this for a future meeting. And so at this time, any other comments from council? Committee? I want to open public comment, and we do have a speaker, Mr. Schneider.
Thank you. Provided the committee members and the private page and table of content for recent reviews of impacts of recreation of trails on wildlife, and have the actual items as the full documents as PDFs, and probably your email address on the app to email it to you. My point is that recreational trails are not benign with respect to wildlife. This committee's primary purpose, per first priority, is to protect native biological diversity and wildlife habitat. The second priority is non-motorized recreation and visual resources. So I think it would be useful for the committee members, staff, perhaps anybody who wants to read some of these documents, get more familiar with the possible impacts of recreational trails on wildlife habitat and wildlife.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate that.
Did you mention you had sent a PDF of the documents?
Yes.
I have both of them useful as PDFs. There's lots of documents around, but these are two accessible ones, readable.
Okay, thank you very much. I do have another post to speak. On Pablo.
Yes. There's a lot of names in the moment.
Yama.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name again is Senior Land Use Manager with Save on Diablo, Alvaro Martinez. Thank you so much for the opportunity to comment. We have quite a bit of experience with encouraging the public to get out and develop a love of nature. If you don't love something, you probably won't work hard to save it. And if you don't know something, you won't start to love it. So we think that's a great thing. And there are a lot of ways to do it without compromising in any way, be overcrossings, undercrossings that other projects today have been spoken about. You can do both in different areas and have very satisfied populations that engage in recreation and nature and develop that love of the land and love of wildlife that we try to instill in populations in the region without compromising anything to do with ecological connectivity or wildlife routes or anything like that. So you can easily, maybe not easy, but a little effort planning, you can do both at the same time. Right now, you can go in a huge loop around Mount Diablo in Contra Costa County and never once set foot outside of public lands. Sometimes you gotta like go kitty corner a couple times, but it is possible. So such a concept is of interest, and we would definitely be into talking about with different leaders of Alameda County in this concept and learning more about it. I never heard of it personally, but I'm sure there are ways to use existing trails and maybe opening up some that aren't existing without compromising important wildlife crossings, important migratory routes, and important habitats that we want to keep connected and perhaps free of a human presence, so that, as the researchers here today testified, you don't need to lose something that's very important in order to gain something else that's very important. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I ask a clarifying question? Because it's an agenda item.
Speak.
Sure. I, my mind is trying to understand the, I'm seeing this sort of dichotomy, that's the right word. If the presence of humans is bad for wildlife and you encircle, say, Mount Diablo, and wildlife doesn't like to cross that because they smell humans, then are you not saying that if you do that, every animal that's up on the hill isn't going to go down, and any animal down the hill isn't going to go up? And is that going to be a problem? Or are you thinking that you should contain your human movement to a part of an area so that wildlife can go all around you? Because it was first I ever heard of this, and it's concerning because if indeed this incompatibility of a trail, like, I mean, just the crest to coast, if you're going to come, then animals won't cross it. How are you not really constricting their movement if that's the case? I'd never heard of and like to learn more about how human presence detracts from the species. So how would it work with, say, Mount Diablo's advice in this case?
Sure, and I'd probably clarify not just our advice of an entire body of scientific research. And if we had a time machine, we might, and you know, a different set of values from numbers years ago, we might rethink some things like putting freeways where they are. Right now, these trails are where they are, and a lot of people love using them. So
yeah.
If you don't have an existing network like that that's already being used, and you can plan ahead for something that can give you the benefits of wildlife movement, relatively free of human disturbance, and provide recreational opportunities in areas that don't conflict like that, that's something to look ahead and plan.
Okay, yeah,
future time machine, we probably think quite a bit of the development that's happened around here for pushing the ecological integrity of the region first.
Okay.
But happy to talk about.
Any
again, my name is Celeste Garavindi. As I said, I'm a rancher and a conservationist. Right now I'm going to comment from my observation side. I've done some research about the McAllamy Coast to Crest Trail, and one of the things about the trail is, first, there is a plan for its entire development. It isn't complete yet, although there are some segments that are complete, but not every segment provides the same type of access. And part of that reason is because of the rules and regulations that the different municipalities that the trail, not municipalities, but public entities that the trail runs through have. And so, for example, in some places, people hiking and dogs might be allowed. In other places, dogs aren't allowed. In some places, bicycles aren't allowed. And in other places, bicycles and dogs aren't allowed. And so there's a recognition within those different entities of what their conservation goals are, the nature of the resources that they're working to preserve, and what type of public access is appropriate. From the programs that Dick, or from the documents that Dick presented, and then we have compiled and put together with regard to the Tesla Wildlands, the goal to establish Tesla as a reserve, we've learned that, of course, we think it would be understandable. Every use has an impact, but not every use has the same impact. And that's the critical issue in terms of conservation. An understanding of what the resources are, what types of protection is required for those resources, and what the impacts of those uses will be. And that's one of the reasons why in Tesla, we're advocating for it, working for Tesla to be established as a reserve, which has a particular statutory classification within the state park system, because of what is known about its resources that have been identified as having statewide significance, and what the impacts of more intensive access will have on those resources. So this discussion is really important and helpful because it really, in my mind, comes down to the crux of what conservation is about. Of course, we want people to learn about and love nature, and part of that is an engagement with nature. But we also have to recognize that engagement can be detrimental to the very thing that we're working to preserve. And so it becomes very important that we recognize the importance of the resources and how we can best preserve them, recognizing that not all recreation is the same, not all access is the same, and special care has to be taken to ensure that we are in fact achieving our conservation goals and not damaging the other uses of the land. Thank you
very much. And next public speaker, Ian Howe,
Alameda County RCD. Just a couple quick thoughts here. One, if this body is looking to learn more about sort of compatibility issues around recreation and wildlife, I think the papers that Dick Schneider shared are a good start. And there are other human resources who could inform that conversation, like Dr. Fraser Schilling, if that's an interest in further discussion. And then also, you know, I somewhat flippantly said I'm not the right person to speak with about trails earlier. And, you know, Tri Valley Conservancy and East Bay Regional Parks were mentioned. I would also suggest Hayward Area Recreation and the Livermore Area Rec and Parks Department as well. You know, for the people who do design and manage trails, I think they would be helpful to the conversation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you have any hands raised online?
Yeah, Fraser Schilling has his hand up.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to follow up on Ian volunteering me and just say that I have two funded projects, the details of which I'm happy to share with you all as resources. One is in Boulder County, Colorado, and it's to look at wildlife connectivity and a very long bicycle and ped trail. The other is in Santa Clara County in Coyote Valley, trying to balance trail development with, and those are primarily walking trails, with wildlife movement. So they're both non-motorized recreation, balancing with wildlife connectivity. They're both, the Boulder County one's already started, the Coyote Valley one's gonna start up soon. They both involve collecting the literature, summarizing it, saying, hey, what's the problem? And so that sounds like something timely for you all. Probably by the end of summer, I could share something with you if you'd like it.
Thank you very much.
Not a request for funding. It's just saying I'm already funded to do it and I'm happy to share the information with you.
Is there
a difference between a wildlife walking across a trail compared to walking on a trail? Seems to me that they're less bothered by walking across a trail if humans and dogs have been there.
Yeah, that was a good point. Somebody raised about the Mount Diablo circling trail. The bottom line is that you can think of a trail with, and it depends on how much human activity there is, but if you had daily, if somebody's walking on it every day, you have kind of this zone of exclusion where wildlife aren't going to want to come as close. But if they have a very strong imperative, like a dispersing young mountain lion or some other dispersing young, they may cross it once on their way out or their way in. They're probably not going to worry about it very much because they'll just run, right? It's more that if you have frequent trail use, basically you're going to push wildlife away. The more wildlife are excluded from an area, the less they're used to going there. They're less of their own scent trails they leave. And so you kind of set up a barrier almost. It's a soft barrier. It's not like a freeway, but it's more of a fear barrier. So it has an effect for sure. And you don't want to put them where you have any pinch points or you have really strong concerns about wildlife being present.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Schilling. Any other injuries? Okay, close public comment then. Bring it back to the committee. Sounds like we have been expressed a desire for more information. Future agenda item. I'm hearing from the meeting. Okay, see some heads nodding. There are a number of other agencies within the county that were mentioned, the Hayward Area Parks District, Livermore Area Parks District, East Bay Regional Parks, Tri-Valley Conservancy. How would the staff suggest proceeding on this?
So there's also a trails committee that meets fairly regularly. It's not an official, it's not a ground-up body, but it's a collaboration of folks from different parties, I think, including Zone 7, Livermore Recreation and Parks, East Bay Regional. So a lot of these folks are meeting regularly about trails issues and may be interested in presenting some of what they are talking about to this committee. So I could talk to them and see if it would make sense, since a lot of the folks you mentioned are already in that group.
Okay. I had not heard of that committee, and it sounds very interesting. If they are engaged on this topic, I'm sure we'd like to hear something from them, their thoughts.
I can look into it.
If they are engaged on the East-West Trail as proposed. This committee agreed to also the staff and then move forward with a future agenda item.
Sure.
Okay. So we'd like to do then. Anything else on this item? Okay, I'll close item number 9. On to item number 10. update on the state planning process with a SLARC, and this is the information item. ECPA staff.
Do you have a dictionary or if you'd like to give them a business?
There's no new information beyond what was in the minutes from March. That is, State Parks is huddling up and doing their thing, and when they will come up with a proposed general plan and draft EIR and a name and a classification. Still in the future, we don't know when.
Okay. What I expected too. Any discussion among the committee? Okay. Any other public comments? Seeing none here, any hands raised? Okay, close public comment, and seeing no need to go on with item 10, we'll close it and go on to item number 11, update on available funding, informational item.
All right, so as of May 1st, just a couple weeks ago, the fund balance for the eastern side is $21,274,820.49. And for the western side, $3,795,039.45.
Okay, thank you very much. I would just note for the benefit of the committee, I did run into at the meeting last week, held by Mr. Hallam, Schilling, did run into someone from St. Mark Diablo, something you know, was very, I did not know about the availability of funding and about this committee, but there's someone that Mr. Schneider knows very well, St. Mark Diablo, so your names were brought up, and hopefully you can get to it. Okay. With that, I'll close item number on the book. Public comment? Okay, close public comment. We'll go on to item number 12, future agenda items and speakers. And Lees County, have something?
So just potential regular updates on payment, the payment for ecosystem services project once that's under ability. We heard about that earlier.
Right.
Updates on the field trip as those scope forward. And then we have items, two agendas for future meetings, including the map as an action item. So removing that from the public website potentially. An update maybe in September or October on the wildland crossing progress and some additional research and info on the east-west trail concept.
Okay, thank you. Any comments, questions? Seeing none, thank you. Close agenda item 12. Item number 13, our next meeting will be on July 17th, 2026. Item number 14, committee questions, comments?
Not a question or a comment. Yep. I'm going to go back in time to when we regaled this Gillicut with flowers and wonderful remarks. And just to say thank you. How many years?
Actually, 26.
26 years. And I think many, many accomplishments. Also, I've seen you step out of your comfort zone a little bit and bring impactful information to our board and to this group in a way that isn't easy to do. We got a lot of egos and minds and various thought processes, and you navigate it very well. Have you shared the next chapter your life with us?
To be honest, I've been retired for a month and a half now, and
he's ready to come back.
I'm very much enjoying just doing not much of anything and not having any scheduled meetings or appointments. So just taking it easy is my plan for a little while.
That sounds so good, and we wish you the best, and I'm jealous. I have no meetings, but I'm glad to hear that the month and a half is going so well. Appreciate you. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I wasn't here for the actual item.
Oh, okay. Yeah, appreciate the chair of public finance. I mentioned
that the retirement is wonderful from my own experience, so I'm glad you're enjoying yours so far.
Okay.
I went to Pleasanton City Council.
Pretty much.
Okay. Next meeting is July 17th. No other committee questions or comments seen here. So with that, we'll adjourn. 11 p.m.